Hello, romantics. I'm Sarah Gomez, author, romance lover, and host. You're listening to Romancing the Story, a podcast centered around writing, reading, and story structure, all with a twist of romance. We're at episode 32, and on today's episode, I speak with author Rebecca F. Kinney about Kindle Vella writing and publishing and what she's found to be successful on the platform. In case you haven't heard of Kindle Vella, it's the new Amazon platform created as a mobile-first approach to serialized storytelling. Authors have the chance to engage with readers in an episodic format, one short episode at a time. Rebecca is one of those authors that adopted the platform early and is finding lucrative benefits as well as growing her author brand. Rebecca and I chat briefly about the compensation structure Amazon is using. From what I understand, Amazon pays a small royalty per 100 words. Amazon has made it clear that the specific pricing numbers could change, so I wouldn't suggest taking this information as definitive pricing structure. However, I have found a couple of other sources that break down the payouts as well as the pros and cons of Kindle Vella. Both of those sources are listed in the show notes. With that said, let's jump right in. Welcome, spicy fantasy romance author, Rebecca F. Kinney.
Yay!
So, in case listeners don't know, can you tell them a little bit about yourself and your writing?
Sure. I'm Rebecca, and I write spicy fantasy romance. You could say smutty, whatever. I like the word spicy. I'm currently self-published, and I have two longer series. One is the Dark Ruler series, which is dark fantasy romance, and then I have the Immortal Warriors series, which is a little bit lighter and has some retellings like Peter Pan, Jack Frost, things like that. And I have a vampire romance trilogy set during a zombie apocalypse. So those are my main ones. I do have an agent. She's actually my second agent. She is great. Love her. And we recently sold the audio rights to 9 of my self-published books, which is awesome. So we're going to do audiobooks soon. And we also have some other news that I can't talk about, but that's also exciting. So.
Yep. Ooh, people are going to have to follow you to find out, right?
Exactly.
So I know, and I know you've written several stories on Kindle Vella.
Yes.
And I asked some writers what they thought of Kindle Vella, and I kind of got similar responses across the board of what is Kindle Vella? Mm-hmm. And I know Vella is that new serialized story format created by Amazon. It was just launched back in like July of this year. So it's really new. And it was designed more for mobile devices is kind of what I've been reading. And it's unfolding as a larger narrative over time with like the episodic installments, more like Wattpad or Radish, right? And competing in those markets. How long have you been posting on Kindle Vella?
So actually the beta, and I'm not sure if we're technically out of beta yet or not, but it rolled out last year in July, so 2021. And I have been on the platform since it started. I've published about 10 stories on there under my real name and a handful of others under a pen name. So I personally love it. I know you know you'll get mixed responses, but yeah, when I heard Amazon was doing this, I was really excited because I personally find the Amazon like upload format fairly intuitive. And so I've checked into other sites and found it not so intuitive. So I was excited to check this out. And I've been working on it for a while now and really enjoying the process.
Yeah. And I honestly, as a fan fiction reader or as like growing up reading fan fiction, it just kind of speaks to my heart of like all this like really quick, like really easily digestible, like episodic installments every day or every week. And so like, I love the format as a reader. And I was just like, what kind of drew you into posting for the platform in particular? Because I know some people are intimidated by the idea.
So I do love the idea of like bite-sized chapters. Like I post mine every day. So I've had people tell me, oh, I like to read it with my coffee, or I like to read the episode on my lunch break, you know, things like that. And so I guess what drew me in is like, I have a very short attention span when I'm reading, you know, and I tend to, which is terrible to admit as a writer, but I tend to jump away from stories that I feel are kind of slowing down. And some of mine have slow parts too. You know, that's, it is what it is. Not the writer's fault. It's my own attention span, but that's why this appealed to me, is because I could really relate to that kind of reader, you know, that only has like this bit of time to read, you know, before they have to go on to the next thing in their life. Right. So it's also been really cool because I have learned to keep the pacing up really well for this. But I guess what drew me in at the beginning is just like, I like to try to stay flexible when new things come into the indie publishing space. And that can be really hard. Like sometimes I'll look at something, I'll be like, nope, that's not for me immediately, you know, but I do try to stay flexible and like research and kind of watch what's happening. And I don't know, this one just really grabbed me. And I was like, I'm just going to try this Vella thing and see how it goes. And, you know, I had a couple of books that were kind of sitting on the back burner that I hadn't put out anywhere. So I started with those, but actually those didn't do as well as the ones that I've written specifically for Vella. And really? It's just, yes. And that's so interesting to me because I thought the other ones were pretty well paced, but yeah, no, it's been, it's been interesting to watch. But yeah, I think the fun of it is, you know, people get to, they get that anticipation, like, oh, the next episode, you know, we usually end on a cliffhanger, right, of some kind. And so it's like, oh man, I want the next one. So it just pulls you through, you know, and it builds engagement. And I like to, you know, tease things that are coming up. So it's just a fun platform.
I love that you mentioned that too, that a lot of readers like read it on their breaks, because that's exactly how I've caught up with your The Sea Witch, like Kendall yes! Vella story. I love it. It is a retelling of The Little Mermaid. Anyone who wants a spicy version of that where it's like gender swapped, where the sea witch is a male. Ooh, check it out. Chef's kiss. Perfection. So like I've caught up with that, but that's exactly what I did. I read it really quickly this morning before I got up.
Yeah. It's so like, and when things are out, you know, you can binge them if you want, yeah, just like you binge a TV show. So it's like whether the whole story is already out or whether, you know, it's still going, it can be fun.
And I like that it's that anticipation too. You mentioned that like the fast pace of it, like it's so quick, so snappy. It's that's very interesting as a writer, from a writer's perspective, because I can definitely see like how you would have to, maybe depending on your writing style, may have to tailor that a bit, you know, to kind of write in like certain installments where, like you said, you're kind of ending a little bit on a cliffhanger. Cause I do love that you sometimes leave those little nuggets in there, yeah, of where we're going to go next. Mm-hmm. Like, and I can tell where we're going to go next. And you say you post daily. So you, mm-hmm, I know I can always anticipate the very next installment.
I schedule way ahead. So okay, that way you don't have to be afraid that, oh no, she didn't have time to post today. So I schedule these things, you know, weeks in advance usually. So.
Oh, perfect. Well, and that's something, that is a question that someone actually did ask when I kind of reached out to writers. And I said, like, what kind of questions would you have about Kindle Vella? And someone said, well, how do you like, do you write the whole story ahead of time? Like what, how does that differ from maybe your regular writing style? If you're writing for like a book, a self-published book, or do you just kind of, do you trust yourself to write like so far ahead?
So I'm a pantser, so, which is, for those who don't know, you just write without any particular plan. Mm-hmm. I do sometimes have a very sketchy sort of outline, like, and I have in my head an idea of where it's going. So I will jump into a story, like right now, all my books start on Kindle Vella. I always start there. So I always have that in mind, that this is that type of story. So what I'll do is I usually jump in, I have my mood board, my playlist, and then I jump into the story and I do usually about, I'd say a week to 2 weeks worth. As far, you know, and it can be like maybe 10K to 20K. So I have a chunk to start with, and then I'll edit that chunk and I'll start scheduling those episodes. Because there's an approval period once you upload. You have to wait a little bit for Amazon to like check it out, make sure you didn't do anything wacky that they don't like. So I'll usually have a chunk of the story ahead of time. And this differs. Okay, I say I schedule weeks ahead of time. I usually do. I have cut it close, like a week ahead before. So there have been times when I've cut it a little closer, but I do try to plan pretty far ahead. But no, I don't have the whole thing written before I start posting. So that can be dangerous, right? Like if I get further down the line, I'm like, oh man, I forgot that I said this earlier, or, you know, where did this character go? sometimes I have to go back and edit an earlier episode, and you can do that. But that's not as good, because then the people who've already read it, you know, they don't know what the fix is. So I do have to be careful about that and try to keep all the things in my head. So I don't, you know, so in that respect, it's a little more difficult than just writing for a regular book, because then you would write the whole thing and then you would edit the whole thing and then you have people look at the whole thing. So when I'm putting it on Vella, there's a little more risk involved, but I do re-edit and have beta readers before I put it on KDP later on. So I think a lot of people are not quite as, they don't expect quite as much from serial story platforms. Like, they still want quality, obviously, because they're paying for it, and I want to provide the best quality I can. However, readers are a little more lenient when it comes to those episodic things. Like, I found they don't expect everything to be absolutely perfect yet. And there are some writers who will put out just like their rough draft onto Vella and stuff like that. I've seen people do that. That is not something I personally would recommend or do. However, more power to them. If you know, some people just view it more as like a public beta reading experience, you know? So I wouldn't recommend that, but you can do that.
Those are some brave souls. I would never. I mean, I know, like, right? If you want to do it, then good on you. But that'd be scary.
I usually edit each episode a couple of times before I throw it up there. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I would probably do the same thing. But I do, yeah, I love the idea, because when I heard about Kindlevella, and that's kind of why I'm like so excited to talk about it and everything, because I was like, I used to do fan fiction writing way back in the day when I was a teenager. And I remember getting feedback about, like, from readers, and about like, okay, where, like you said, like, where did this character go, or what happened to this plot line? And I love it that I feel in some ways you can almost like you touch it up, you get it nice and you get it ready, but then maybe you put it out there and maybe you get feedback from readers of things you never thought of, you know? And like, I think that's a really, to me, that's very gratifying as a writer, because it does feel so isolating, or sometimes you're just like, I didn't think of those things in my head. Is there any other way that writers can get feedback in Kindlevella? I know that there's the likes and the faves.
There is not a very good way to get feedback. And I know that's disappointed a lot of writers. Okay. There is a place to review, but that is not each episode. That is only on the story page, I think. Mm-hmm. I think it shows up on every story page, but I'm not sure. Gotcha. And I found that Vella readers tend to not review very much. You know, it's hard enough getting people to review for Amazon, and Vella readers, they just don't. I've gotten a couple, like even some of my more popular ones have only gotten a couple actual reviews. You can include polls in a poll in an episode and ask questions, but it's not like they can really tell you anything. Like, they can just say yes or no, or choose something. So it's not like you're really getting feedback, which is unfortunate. You know, and I've had people come to me like in messages or comment on things, mostly just saying that they're enjoying it. So I don't really get any like, I would love it if this character did this, you know, or if, you know, the story went this direction, you know, and that would be kind of fun at times. I mean, I don't know that I wouldn't super enjoy it, because I like having all the control and making all the choices, but yeah, I know that the feedback thing can be really helpful for a lot of writers. And so I feel like that is one weakness the platform has, is that they don't really have that available. And maybe it's a thing where they're trying to cut costs and they don't want to have to monitor it, or like, or, you know, if someone's making terrible comments, they don't want to have to like take the time to take those down or work with you as to which ones are valid and which ones aren't, you know what I mean? So it could be that there's a lot more involved in that kind of infrastructure and Amazon just didn't want to bother. That's quite possible, but that's not a thing that's there currently. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And that'd be interesting to see how it maybe evolves later on, because I know it's still kind of new. They're still kind of like feeling it out, and they're really, I know Amazon is really trying to make KindleVella like a bigger platform with, like, I know they, I read somewhere that they include bonuses, and I know one of the big conferences, writers conferences, actually they hold here in Dallas, Texas, quite often. That's not too far from me. They actually had an Amazon rep that was pitching KindleVella to a lot of authors.
Yes.
So it was very interesting to know that they're trying, they are trying to make this a sustainable platform, and that they are, hopefully it'll kind of evolve as it goes along, so they see that it fits the needs. I would love to see like more reviews available. Like you said, like it's not so hard to find.
Yes. Yes.
And another question I did get, since that kind of rolls right into to the same kind of arena of question, is like, how do readers find your stories on KindleVella? Because I figured the reviews would be part of that.
Right. So that is one tricky thing. Okay. So it's like, at the beginning, there weren't that many stories on there, right? Mm. Now there's way more authors jumping in. So it's becoming more difficult to be seen, you know, like it is on regular Amazon, where you kind of get lost in the world. So basically, you have to bring people directly to your story. And they can find it if they're looking through categories. Like there's various romance categories. There are keywords that you can search for, like enemies to lovers. If that's something you enjoy, then you can search for that and it'll show you, you know, the stories that have that particular tag or keyword. So that's helpful. So, you know, somebody could potentially find you by going in there and just browsing for the things that they like. Mm-hmm. However, what I've found to be better as far as bringing people over is just like constantly continuing to explain what it is. And like every so often on TikTok, I will do a video about it. I need to do another one soon, just explaining what it is, because a lot of readers just don't know. And some readers, it won't be for them. And they'll know that immediately. And they'll tell you immediately, I don't like that, you know, I don't like that format. And that's totally fine. But you'll also find people who are like, oh, cool. You know, I've read things on Radish or Inkit or whatever, or I like webtoons. I like the serial format of things. So I will check it out. So I like to do that and just kind of bring people over that way through social media, Twitter, you know, Instagram, that kind of thing. And on each of my social pages, I have a link tree link, you know, and it kind of branches out to all your different. So I always put whatever stories are current right at the top of that. So when people click on the link in my bio, they will immediately get taken to, you know, a list of the stories that I have going. And then they can jump in to whichever one they want. And the best way to do that, sometimes I link to the story page, but the best way to do it is actually to link to episode one, because then you immediately get a read. The second they click on it, it counts as a read of that episode. So that is helpful for me. And I'm trying to switch all the links over to do that. But it's also helpful to direct them to the story page, because then they can kind of see the, they see the blurb and everything. And so it just depends on what you want to do.
And I like that you say you kind of like advertise other places like TikTok and things like that, just kind of explaining things. Cause I think that's really how I found your story, specifically the Sea Witch, was through your newsletter. Like I knew you had written several stories on KindleVella, and I was like, I tagged him. I was like, okay, I'm going to read that one. But when I saw the Sea Witch, I was like, ooh, I'm really interested in that one. I really want to read that one. So like, I like that you've been putting it out of different places, and you do both, right? You do both the self-publishing and the KindleVella, which I feel like you can do both as an author, right? It kind of helps diversify your, your writing and help you figure out where you're going to get your audience, or maybe take one audience and transfer it to the other. I like that you say too, you mentioned TikTok specifically, because I feel like with the rise of TikTok, our attention spans have whittled down quite a bit. And so like, I feel like the serialized format only helps like keep my attention, and then kind of drifts me over. Cause like, I know what you, I have an idea of how you write now. So I'm like, ooh, I want to buy like that book. I think it's a very smart way to utilize like one platform kind of into the other to kind of help grow your brand as an author. So that's why I'm trying to get authors on board, honestly.
Yeah.
Have you found that there are any specific pros and cons you've experienced for KindleVella versus like Kindle Unlimited, or typical, what we would call typical self-publishing?
Right. So I don't think there are really any cons. Like you were saying, one feeds into the other. And so it's almost like you're getting paid twice for the book. You know what I mean? Like you grab one audience, the serial reader audience, right? Then you feed that same story into your, you know, Amazon, your Kindle Unlimited, your regular Amazon eBooks and paperbacks, and you give it to the other audience who likes to get it this way. So it's really just doubling your audience size, really. And I mean, one may be bigger than the other, but you're just, like you said, diversifying is a good way to put it. And honestly, like Vella, you mentioned the bonuses. I would not still be on there if it weren't for the bonuses. The bonuses are amazing. I don't even understand how they calculate it. I know it has to do with like, they take the total profits and they give the authors a share, and it's like, it's a general pool, but then they dole it out to you based on your activity. Like how often did you upload? And I think maybe we don't really know how they figure it out, but it's definitely based on engagement and reads, but it's also based on author activity, like how active you are in uploading new things. So there's an element of both, and they calculate in there the crowns you get, the faves, the follows, the likes. But based on all of that, they give you money at the end of the month that way outstrips your actual royalties for the Vella stories. And that has been, I mean, I've had a few five-figure months, you know, between the bonuses. They've gone down now, you know, with everybody jumping on board. Right. And, you know, I've been a little less active this summer, but a couple of times there it was like, add in my regular KDP, like my Kindle Unlimited income and my paperbacks, and add that to the Vella stuff, and we're doing good.
Ooh, yeah, get it, girl. That sounds amazing.
Like, that was a few months, but it's not all the time. However, I just say that to illustrate that, you know, if you're very active on Vella and you are pulling people over from your social medias, you will see, like I've seen people on there, they're like, I don't know how I got a few hundred dollars because I barely had any activity, but I got a bonus of a few hundred, you know. I mean, you know, that is great. Yeah. So I definitely would encourage people to try it out because, you know, you post a few things on there, you're going to get something, most likely. You get any reads at all, you're going to get a bonus, most likely. So yeah. It's definitely worth it to get that extra income stream, right? We could all use that.
Right. And I was talking to, like I said, like a couple of writers, I was just asking like questions about like, what would you want to talk about? Like what is interesting about the Kindle Vella portion of you? And someone said that they had written on Kindle Vella and that they had gotten the bonuses as well, which were really nice. And like you said, they might kind of peter out as more yes. people are joining, or they might eventually, because they are trying to get people to authors mm-hmm. to join the platform, they might eventually go away. But if you can get a piece of it now, like yes. the earlier, the better, or trying to at least build that audience, you can transfer it, like you said, to other places, like your paperbacks or your Kindle Unlimited, wherever you're going to offer other books. So like, I love that notion. I know that there's some limitations too, like you have to, but you can take your Kindle Vella story after the fact and make it a self-published novel, right? Like it's like 30 yes. days, I believe.
Right. So 30 days after your last episode drops, the last episode of the story, you can take it and put it up on Amazon. And I think I've done this a couple of times. I've seen some people say, don't do this, but like, I think you can set up a pre-order, like around that time, a pre-order for it. Like I put up a pre-order for Sea Witch already. And so that way
I get that.
you can go like pre-order the ebook. Mm-hmm. But yes, so 30 days after your last episode drops is when you can set your release date for your ebook or whatever. And you can also, like while you're publishing episodes on Kindle Vella, you can also publish episodes on another platform like Radish or Patreon. It's as long as it's behind a paywall, you're not offering them for free. Amazon doesn't mind you doing that. And that's, you know, that's considered fine. However, I did this with Radish. I put Pawn of the Cruel Princess on Radish just to test it out. I did not get much traction over there. Mm. And they make you wait 90 days after you know, before you can take it off their platform, and I have to take it off their platform before I can put the ebook in Kindle Unlimited. So I'm not going to do that again, because like now people are like, why isn't this in Kindle Unlimited already? Because it's out. And I'm like, I have to wait for the Radish thing to be done. So sorry, that's like a complicated side note, but just check the terms and conditions of whatever other site you're using to find out, you know, if you're planning on Kindle Unlimited, you're going to have to take it off there. All the episodes have to come off there before you can do that with your ebook, if that makes sense. But yes, you can move your Kindle Vella story and make it into an ebook, paperback, hardback, whatever you want, audiobook. And another limitation is they do not like you to put any previously published material on there. So if you had a book that was published elsewhere, or like, I think even if it was offered for free, but you'd have to double check with them.
Oh, okay.
So they don't want previously published content. They just want, they want something new so that people aren't buying episodes and then saying, hey, wait, I've already read this, you know? And the three free episodes, the first three episodes are always free, can help with that. So if for some reason someone were to get confused, I guess they should be able to tell from the free episodes that they'd already read it. But, and I think a few people, like if they had something on Wattpad, have gotten permission to, since it was already taken off Wattpad, you know, and it was for free, I think they were allowed to put it on Vella, but I'm not for sure on that. So you'd have to double check. For me, I've just always put like unpublished content out there. Like nobody's seen it yet, but me. So that's what I've done to be safe.
Yeah, that seems like a safer route.
You don't anger the Amazon gods, right?
Oh, yes. We never want to
get mad at you.
We never want to do that.
No.
And you can keep it. Can you keep your story on Vella too? Or yes. Have you found that? Okay.
You can. Now, wow. I didn't realize that at first. And I took one of my stories off of Vella when I put it in ebook form. But then I found out you can. They do allow it. Got confirmation. And everyone's doing it now. So you can leave your Vella story on there and you can put your ebook in Kindle Unlimited and they don't mind. So.
Well, I guess it just gives Amazon more. So
Amazon
like,
gets more. Yeah, if Amazon gets more, they don't care.
They're just like, sure, we'll take it all. We don't mind.
Exactly.
So, but that's good to know, because that was something we had kind of chatted about with some, like I said, with some of the other authors that we're talking about, like, well, can you keep it on there? Can you not? But that's really great to know. As far as like you can utilize it, like you said, in different formats,
right?
Where you can kind of get to your audience, whatever they're wanting. Do you find that the compensation is? I mean, we kind of like touched very briefly on the bonuses, but right. Do you feel like the compensation between Vella and Unlimited and or the self-publishing is different?
Well, let's. It depends. So they charge a flat rate per word. So your episodes, you know, are going to be, whether you publish a short episode or a long one, you're going to get the same, you know, like if you split into like two 600 word episodes, or you do one 1200 word episode, you'll get the same amount. So I've had people ask that question before. So it's priced per word. So that makes it fair for readers. Now, as far as the way it compares to like buying a Kindle ebook, I've had some people say, well, you know, you pay more on Vella buying the episodes than you would purchasing the ebook when it's done. And that can be true depending on the length of the story. You might end up paying more on Vella than you would if you just wait and buy the ebook. But some people price their ebooks pretty high. So it just depends on the author and how high they're going to set the price. I usually just do $2.99, $3.99 is like the max I go. So mine are not very expensive, but other ebooks, you know, can get a bit pricier. Now, the other thing you want to consider is part of what you're paying for is just that advance, like you're getting it ahead of everyone else. You know, you're kind of getting it as it comes out. You don't have to wait. So it's that convenience and just the feeling of, hey, I get this first. So that is part of what you're paying a little bit extra for. But as far as the royalties and everything that they do, I feel like it's, you know, it's probably pretty fair. I don't know. It feels a little low sometimes as far as the royalties go, which is why for me, the bonuses are what really make it worthwhile. Because when I look at the royalties, it's just, it feels a little lower than what I get with Kindle Unlimited and eBooks. But I don't know. That could be just me. It's hard to figure out the math sometimes, and I'm not a math person. So
Well, and I know that there's, and like you said, there's kind of other factors contributing, right? The mm-hmm. bonuses. And I know that the, it's very low entry for the readers, at least at the moment. And I was given, cause I'm Amazon Prime member and unlimited, sign up. So I was gifted 500 tokens and I know mm-hmm. that's how you pay for the, every episode is the readers will pay tokens
yes.
in order dependent, like you said, on the word count and will pay per episode. So that's, I'm still like, I still have my free tokens for now. And then I'll probably buy more later on because I am very curious. I really like the format a lot, yeah. but I know people, I had some people saying that, oh, well, some readers, when you pay for free tokens, you don't get a payment of that according to what they had found, that the writers don't get a piece of that. So I don't know exactly how it works out, but like you said, the math is a little wibbly wobbly there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's interesting to hear.
I think Amazon was compensating for free tokens at the beginning. I'm not sure if they still are. Okay. They may have ended that. But honestly, I don't mind. I'm just happy that they're pulling people in. Like anything Amazon will do to draw more readers onto the platform, I am okay with it. And it's not like they're actually taking money out of my pocket, really. It's like, you know, it's totally fine with me. I know some people, they get all up in arms about that sort of thing, but I'm like, hey, cool. They're bringing more people in. I get more readers. You know, they're more likely to, if they really want to use up their tokens, they're more likely to buy some later and like keep exploring, and I'm cool with that. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a very underrated idea that authors or writers might have is discoverability mm-hmm. by your readers. Because a lot of times it's not that your readers aren't out there. They're just not finding your book. Because exactly. like you said, it's like oversaturated.
Yes.
And if they have a smaller pool to get mm-hmm. to, like where the Kindle Vella, and it's a little bit more easily accessible in that way, because you know, there's not as many, then they might find, like you said, your stories or any other stories that they might be able to dive right into and say like, ooh, this already has like 40 chapters. I can yes. just, and I'm really intrigued by the story or the first chapter or the blurb or anything like that. So I'm just going to go for it. Yeah. I come from a marketing background. So I feel like that's always a big, big idea of like, you just need to be discovered by the exactly. right readers.
Yes.
So like, don't be afraid to kind of try new things or go out there, because it is about a part of that is just discoverability, just so mm-hmm. that they can, the availability that they can find you. Have you experienced a direct benefit from putting your stories on Kindle Vella? I know that might be hard to kind of gauge, but I was just curious, like if you have like better readership, you've noticed like maybe some move over, like you saw, like better readership, more signups for your newsletter, anything yes. that's measurable. I love measurable because I'm from marketing.
Right. So I would say the primary indirect benefit has been monetary. As far as people coming to like into my readership and signing up for newsletters, to be honest, I see more of that happening through TikTok. So I can see a direct correlation between a TikTok that does well and my Kindle Unlimited reads for the day, or, you know, signups to my newsletter, or, you know, things like that. So I feel like most of my readers on Vella are coming from TikTok, and most of my signups and my, you know, Kindle Unlimited readers are also coming from TikTok. So I don't think if I'm getting people who are just like randomly exploring on Vella and finding me, if I'm getting those people, I can't really see it. Like there's no way for me to see that and really gauge that.
Okay.
Usually they're coming from some other social media channel. So I kind of wish there was a better way to see if someone from Vella went and checked out my Amazon profile or like bought a book, but I guess that would be an invasion of privacy. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know if it would. That would be something I would love to see, if people really are going from Vella to investigate other things that I've done. But I can't. Yeah, there's no way to see that really. I don't think.
Well, and I didn't know, because it is such a new platform, if they had any kind of analytics like that and behind the scenes, because I haven't, like I said, there's just not that much information out there.
I haven't found where it is. Okay.
No, that's fair. That's completely fair. And it might be something they're still figuring out, because I would love to see like, what is the click-through rate? What exactly is the, yeah, like how many readers are hanging in there? Like how many readers have I engaged with on my first chapter versus my last chapter?
You can see that. You can see like how many reads on your first chapter, like how many reads on each chapter. You can see that number. Awesome. So you can see like if it drops off at a certain point, like after a specific episode, people didn't like it and all of a sudden there's a drop, you know? So you can see the number of reads per episode, but it's hard to tell, you know, if people are going on to check out your other stories or anything like that.
Well, that's good. No, at least there is something there.
There is some, yeah.
Something.
A little bit of something. A
little bit. So you can figure it out. Also, is there any kind of cost? Is it like, I know sometimes when you're doing like self publishing books or things, there's a kind of hidden costs behind there, like formatting and covers, things like that. And you have beautiful covers for even the Kindle Vellas. So I was wondering, is there any other like cost associated sometimes with the uploading on Kindle Vella?
So there would be, you know, the cost of whatever cover you want to use. I make a lot of mine. Mm-hmm. I have bought a couple, let's see, Healer to the Ash King and Pawn of the Cruel Princess. Both of those I bought. But a lot of them, you know, I've made. So yes, you do have to purchase your cover. There is no fee for uploading anything. Okay. And you don't really have to format, honestly. They just plop it into a, you know, there's really, they don't let you do a lot of formatting. So if you try to do that in a Word doc, it's not going to transfer. Mm-hmm. Usually what I do, and this is a good tip, because if you're trying to copy paste, like if you try to copy your episode in Word and then paste it into the Kindle Vella text box, it's going to look super weird. Ooh, and the line breaks are going to be in the wrong places. So what I do is I copy paste the episode into its own episode document, like, and I label it episode one. So then when I'm going in, I click the import, you know, to import the file. So then it imports that whole document from Word, right? So I get my episode one document and it puts it right in and there's no weird line breaks. So you will have to, instead of just copy pasting from one big long book document, you'll have to do a separate Word doc for each episode. And I've seen a lot of other people doing that as well, just so they don't have to go in and like fix all the line break things. So that's one little tip that you could, you know, when you're starting out on there, people can try that. Saves you some time. But other than that, no, you don't have to spend time formatting. You know, if you wanted to get an editor to look at it beforehand, you could. But as long as you have a decent grasp of grammar and spelling, I think you're probably okay. You know, because like I said, people are a little more forgiving on the platform.
That's awesome. Because like, kind of like we mentioned, like it's kind of like a low entry, right? Mm-hmm, for authors to kind of get into and something like, I've considered it because I'm just like, cause sometimes I want to self-publish and I will get there, but it's just like one of some of those bigger ideas, like the formatting and all that kind of make me getting the ISBN, all that just like makes my heart kind of go oof.
Oh, right. Well, see, yeah. And this is like, you can put together a decent cover in Canva, you know, a very simple, and that's the advantage of this too, is that you don't really need a complex cover with a lot of elements. You need a very simple, bold image that's going to grab people's attention. And you can go more complicated if you want, you know, like with the characters actually in there. And I've done that, you know, on a couple of them, but like sometimes I've seen people with just like a skull and some flowers or something, you know, or just like a crown and some, you know, or you can go through and check it out, but there's like really bold images that look good in a tiny thumbnail. You know, those are probably going to do really well. And I don't always follow my own advice in that respect, but I'm just saying you don't have to spend a lot of money on a cover. You can hop into Canva. You can find some, you know, stock images that you can use. And, most of their stuff is licensed for commercial use and would be fine for something like this. Cause there's not like a certain number of copies that you're selling, you know, it's just, it's a digital cover. And, very, very low entry, fairly low cost to get started, low pressure. You just, you know, and by the time you're done, you've got a book that you can work with, you know, And then it's just a matter of, and Amazon will give you a free ISBN if you want, you know, and you can't go wide with that. But if you're just wanting to start out and just start out on Amazon, then yeah, it's not, it doesn't have to be like a huge thing. It is a huge thing. That doesn't have to be like as complicated as some people make it out to be.
Exactly. Like, that's why, like, it attracted me so much, because I was like, this sounds like very easy, like low manageable. Bar. Like I, yes, like I could do this. I could totally do this. Yes. And like you said, the covers don't have to be like terribly complicated, right. Just because you're right. They are like really small. They're tiny, like little tiles. That
honestly, your title is more important.
Oh
yeah. Mm. Because people see that image, then they see your title, and it's like, you know, the title's got to grab them, because otherwise they won't even click and see any blurb stuff. So yeah.
Yeah. That's a good thing to note. Also, can you tag things like, enemies to lovers? Oh, okay.
You get 7 tags. Mm. So, I use tags like steamy, romance, enemies to lovers, you know, things like that. Fantasy romance. There's tags like strong heroine and things like that, you know?
Ooh, good. Yeah. So, because I know that kind of helps too with like finding your right readers and everything like that.
So the tags are also helpful, because I think readers can see those like right away. I'm not sure.
I think I saw like some kind of tags as far as like retelling.
Pretty visible. Yes.
Things. Yes.
Yes. I think it's fairly visible. If not in the thumbnail version, then at least when they click on the story, they'll see them right there. And they'll be able to see, like, I love tags, because they're almost like tropes. They're like those little selling points that let people know immediately, hey, I might like this, you know?
Yeah. And I've seen that so much in the romance community. Mm-hmm. And it's always existed, but like really the last like couple of years, like I know that people will do that as their selling points, like you mentioned, kind of like the tropes, like pointing all the arrows pointing at the book,
right?
And saying, like, yes. Enemies to lovers, or like, you know, one bed trope or something.
Exactly.
Like that. It's like, all the tropey tropes. And we love all the tropey tropes, mm-hmm. Let's be honest.
Yep.
So obviously, are you going to continue?
Right. Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Yes. So, that was one thing I asked when I got with my agent, you know, when I signed with her, I double checked that she would be okay with me continuing to do that even while we did the traditional publishing things. And then I recently had to check with someone else if it was okay that I keep doing the Vella stuff. And that's related to secret things that I can't, you know, but yes. So for now, it's totally fine for me to continue the series that I've already started. So I have the Dark Rulers, which will keep going. And then I recently started, I did the Sea Witch thing. So that's going to be the beginning of a series of gender swap villain fairy tales. So I'll be continuing those for sure.
So like we've talked about all these amazing books and Kindervella stories that you have written. So like, where can readers or listeners find your books?
So I don't have the audiobooks yet, but hopefully those are coming. And I will announce when they're coming. But for now, I am, you know, I'm on Vella and I'm on Amazon. I am not a wide author. So my books are just on Amazon right now. Although I think the ebooks show up on, I've seen them show up on like Barnes and Noble site and whatever. I don't know why, but they're there apparently. I don't know. That's weird. But the paperbacks and hardbacks are definitely only available on Vella. And a lot of my books are in Kindle Unlimited. There might be one or two that aren't, there's one or two that aren't, but most of them are in Kindle Unlimited. And I'm on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram. I'm not very good at Instagram, but I try. So, and that's I do have a newsletter. I'm not super good at the newsletter thing either. I just put them out kind of randomly. So I won't be bugging you very much. If you sign up for the newsletter, I don't send them out very often.
That's okay. You're too busy writing for Kindervella.
Exactly.
You're doing all that. So don't worry. Don't worry about it. And are the audiobooks are of your self-published books, right? They're not Kindervella anything.
So all of the Kindervella books have become self-published books. So
there.
Right. So we sold the rights to my Dark Ruler series, the six books in that. So that starts with Bride to the Fiend Prince. And then the most recent one is Pawn of the Cruel Princess. And then we sold the rights to my vampire zombie apocalypse romance thing. The first book is called The Vampires Will Save You. And that's just a fun thing I wrote during the pandemic in 2020. So,
hey, yeah. There you go. Everyone I've talked to, almost every single author I've talked to said like, yep, I had this great idea during the pandemic. Yes,
and
I'm
just like, pandemic book.
Yeah, there you go. Everyone has one. Everyone had one. So yes.
Thanks so much to Rebecca for joining the show. Be sure to follow me on social media at Romance the Story. That way you can keep up with new and prior guests, as well as episodes to come. Big thank you to everyone who has been listening to the podcast. I recently just hit a big goal of 10,000 downloads, and I couldn't have done it without you. Be sure to stay tuned into my social media pages because I will be hosting a giveaway soon. Book recommendations for this episode: Captive of the Pirate King by Rebecca F. Kinney and The Sea Witch by Rebecca F. Kinney. As always, stay safe, be well, and keep writing. Bye!